Hey, how exciting to see so many of you back from Easter. Wasn't Easter a great weekend? And I want to, thank you for your roles and responsibilities last weekend. Matter of fact, the last 3 weeks have been very involved, but we thank God for many of you, and I'm taking a look at some, and some have already just dialed us up because you gave your lives to Jesus last week. That's very big, and some of you are back here, and I'm very thrilled about what God's doing in your lives and in your heart. It's been a very interesting journey. So to recognize 24 individuals, 25 actually following after service, people are giving their lives to Christ or rededicating, we want to thank the Lord. Can we just thank the Lord for what He's doing among us? And to have you here really is that just one of those beautiful signs that something's going on with you and Jesus, and I thank God for that. I really do. So again, I want to thank our live stream audience. I know some of you are just continuing to follow, and you know our beginning of the series that we start today. So I want to encourage you, let's take a look at our notes when they come up on the screen. But for the rest of you, you have a bulletin card, and if you would consider finding something to write down with, because life groups begin this week. Matter of fact, starting tomorrow, Joyce Armendariz's life group begins tomorrow, and then they follow on through every day of the week, except Wednesday. Next week or the following week, we'll be having Wednesday church, so don't cut out on us on Wednesday. That's where we're going to be doing square two. So if you are new in the faith even, we want to make sure you just jump on board and see what God has for you. Nothing like growing in God's grace. Please do that. So, but for us, let's doodle some notes down. Let's take these notes into the life group. That's really where life happens, and it's so significant, so important for you to do that. And if you were saying, hey, I didn't get a heads up on the new Kidman director, if you just scan with your little camera phone and dial that up, and then just submit a few little informations on there. We'll make sure that you get completely acclimated in our weekly newsletters, and you'll get a chance to see what's going on. Besides just signing up for so many other things that are there, signing up for Life Group, signing up for Square 2 Wednesday Church, signing up for, yes, even our summer camps with our junior high and high school kids. So just want to throw that out there. So important. So much life happens even beyond Sunday setting. So very important for us. Well, with that, you saw we're starting a new series. So before we even begin, you know it's always important we get a chance to pray, right? Because we're confident that God's going to be doing something for us. I'm hoping that you came to church, came to Hope Chapel today because you're needing God to do or to say something specifically for you. And I like when He does that. And the beautiful thing, Hope Chapel's been named properly because we're finding, and you could give a testimony to that, how that we find Jesus, we find salvation, but He puts us in a proper faith family, and then our lives start to get put back together again. Things start happening, even if we were in just a bummer setting, whatever that might look like. And that's really to God's grace. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for what you're doing by praying for your pastor, praying for people in this church. Why? Why is that important? Because we are finding, and this is a testimony to you, I'm finding that it's not taking much for people to see their need for Jesus and to be led to salvation. What does that mean, salvation? It means they recognize their need for God and a relationship for God, not talking church attendance. So to see that happen last week, to follow through with that, people are really earnestly in need. They want, they just need somebody to direct them. Yesterday at my cousin's funeral, I officiated. Even there, just amazing, very simple message, but very poignant, and people gave their lives to Jesus. Now, that's a lot of my relatives, and I have done a number of my relatives' funerals, but something of God's grace is happening in our society, and I'm saying that to you because it will not take much for you to just talk about Jesus, where you're going. Please do. if you have not told somebody lately that, hey, I'm getting back into church, or man, I think God's been talking to me about some things, or even say, can I pray for you right now? Watch how the Lord's moving. I think we're really in those latter seasons where Jesus could be coming back soon. So please be alert. And yesterday's event, I was standing there at the hearse door while they brought in my cousin, and the mortician leaned over and says, Pastor, thank you for that prayer. I prayed that prayer. I want you to know that meant everything to me. I'm so excited. I was just praying today, God, you have to do something in my life. Now that was while the casket's coming in. So it, you just never know. You think that person would hear things like that. But please, please consider sharing Jesus. You all have a story, but it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting what God is doing. So, Lord, we open our hearts once again to you. And, Lord, there are still some things you are wanting about to do for each one of us in this room and for our wonderful friends online. Move powerfully. Holy Spirit, move in ways that only God can do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're taking a look at the series is Living Beyond Our Setbacks. Living Beyond Our Setbacks. That's the series, because we all have those things that really hold us back from growing, hold us back from loving, hold us back from areas like developing or maturing. Say, well, that's just kind of life. But there are things that are just set in motion. They say, why is it I can't advance like I would like? Things that hold us back in relational abilities or emotional abilities or even spiritual. So we're going to be taking a look at some things in our series, and today we're going to take a look at the title of the message, as you can see, Living Beyond Insecurity. We're looking at insecurity. When dealing with that element of insecurity, we could all just say we all work in the areas of just feeling areas of self-doubt, areas of fear, not going to engage individuals. Those areas that would come upon us, insecurities defined as a state or feeling of anxiety, fear, or self-doubt. So in dealing with insecurity, sometimes we may not recognize that, but it also surfaces in ways that we feel insecure by the way we look, the way that maybe we could come across that we're not as valuable as others. Insecure in the way that we might deal with our past. I'm not going to bring up my past. It's a troubling element. Feel insecure in the way that we think people might be thinking about us. I was shocked the day that I realized people really don't think about me. Have you found that out yet? I thought they think about me all the day. I don't care. No, but that's okay. It's helpful. We feel insecure when the areas where we feel like people are going to judge us or whether we will be accepted or not. Feeling insecure in the area of maybe not fitting in. You recognize how important it is for us even today. We're grateful for you, our guests who are here. Thank you. Maybe the possibility, you remember those journeys of coming into Hope Chapel. You looked around and you realized, well, I wonder if I'm going to fit in. That's important. The insecurity of coming to church. I like it when, for the first time, when people come to Hope Chapel for the first time, and man, they hear the gifts of the Spirit go off in the first. That gets me very excited. But there are insecurities that happen when people come in. They take a look like, is there anyone here like me? How come all these individuals look like they have their act together? Those insecurities will well up. You've got to be aware of that, because the way we present ourselves and care for people that come in, they're dealing with insecurities. You know what that's all about. They're taking a look and say, well, I'm not feeling so happy today, but I better put on my happy face because look at how happy they all are. Or I hope my children will do so good in children's chapel because I wonder if they'll think I'm a bad parent. Insecurities. So you can see where we're dealing with going beyond, living beyond insecurity. It's going to be important for us. So we can just kind of deal with that element of insecurities in so many ways. It's kind of like that game Whack-A-Mole. Have you ever played that? It's like, I'm not insecure. And all of a sudden, there's one pops up. What? Oh, man, I'll put it down. Another one, oop, let's put that one down too. So how do we deal with that? Well, I just want to acknowledge one message on insecurity is not going to be the cure-all. Because sometimes insecurity is very deep and it's very complex. But for you and I to go after any situation and exclude God, it's going to be a longer process. So we've got to always start with Jesus. So let's begin. Let's take a look. First on your notes. Number one, insecurity indicates we have a love deficiency. A love deficiency. What do I mean by that? Well, if you've ever gone to the doctors and they've examined your blood and they said, you know what? You've got an iron deficiency. Something's lacking in you. You've got a testosterone deficiency. You've got that potassium low. There's something that's deficient in you. And when you and I have insecurities, that's saying you have a love deficiency. You lack experiencing God's love. Now let's take a look and let the Word of God speak to us today. It's important, but I'm opening my Bible to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Here we go. It says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Take a look at that now. Because insecurity is fear. If you dwell with insecurities, you're dealing with fear, and you have a love deficiency. You don't really know God's love like you really could and should. God is love, but the Word of God is saying very clearly. So fear of being judged, fear of being criticized, fear of not really fitting in, fear of somehow being misunderstood, fear of not being accepted, fear of not good enough. I could go on and on. I've experienced all those things. Fear of playing to the masses, fear of trying to please everybody. I mean, wow, it is out there. So when we deal with that, it really comes down to where we could have 1,000 different areas of insecurity, but the foundation of all of that is fear, And if you have that area, that just means you have a love deficiency. We'll check your blood. But it's important for us. And where did that insecurity come from? Well, you know, the Bible's so clear, so much goes back to the beginning. Called the book of Genesis. You and I were there last week. Remember that? Book of Genesis, which means the beginning. Why do we wear clothes? Book of Genesis. Where did all the languages come from? Book of Genesis. How come death came in? Book of Genesis. And where did insecurities come from? Book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve decided they're going to go it alone and disobey God, sin came in. And what happened? Instant fear and insecurity. They decide they're going to now start putting some clothing on themselves. You know, the old element of sewing fig leaves. And then they hid from God. And then worst of all, they blamed each other. You read Genesis chapter 3. When God told Adam, did you eat of the fruit I told you don't do that? He said, well, the woman you gave me, God. You know, it's your fault because you gave me her. Woman, did you do that? No, it's that serpent. He deceived me. So it's that blame. But you can see here today that that same area is being played out in our society. Insecurity. The hiding from people. I don't want to come out. The hiding and then blaming if somehow our insecurity is being exposed in some ways. So that self-doubt is very real. When we take a look at that, insecurity keeps us from sharing our true feelings with one another. That's why we're having a real challenge trying to get 90 to 100% involvement with life group. They're just insecurities where people, and listen, there's a life group every day of the week except Wednesday. So we can enjoy that. Insecurities will keep us from admitting our mistakes and failures. So we hide, we cover up. Insecurities will come along and keep us from asking for help because it might show that maybe we're inferior, can't do things. That's why I have my wife, when we pull up to the gasoline station, ask for directions. Honey, you ask. not me. So it's important we get a chance to be careful about that. Insecurities will keep us from trying new things because we'll be afraid to fail. I can't pray out loud in public. Insecurities will keep us from praying. It affects our prayer life. We really can't pray with boldness. We don't pray like so-and-so. You can see how these challenges come on. Insecurities cause us to blame others. Insecurity causes us to basically relational isolation. We're so glad so many of you have been coming back. We're still working through the pandemic. So many people are still kind of like putting it out there a little bit, seeing if they can get back into public. But it's a challenge. But that insecurity is very real. And I think the worst of all is that insecurity causes us very unhealthy comparisons. Can't do that. You'll analyze yourself and realize, well, I'm just not like that person. Who am I to think? And boy, I'll tell you, works of darkness just knock us over on that one. So it's going to be important that we be careful about that. But it is a love deficiency, a love deficiency. So when we take a look, if you've ever been to premarital counseling with Pastor Paul, I'll tell the couple, the happily to be married soon couple, make sure not only you put your marriage under Christ, but you each love Jesus more than you love each other. Oh, yes, we do, Pastor. They don't. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, because when that person fails, because they're a person, you won't be completely decimated. You'll still have Jesus as your number one love because that's going to be important. And if that person does anything great for you and you love Jesus and things are going great, it's going to be like frosting on the cake. So it's important. So it's a love deficiency. Turn to somebody that you just know and just tell them, hey, it's a love deficiency. Go ahead, just tell them. You might as well just warm them up. Love. L-O-V-E, love. Remember, we just read that. If we are afraid, this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. If we are afraid. So it's important to know. Let's take a look at number two. Experiencing the love of God moves us beyond insecurity. It moves us beyond. It's a good start. It's a great way to begin. So let's take a look here at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. And though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now take a look at the byproduct of even stepping into the love of God. You get a chance to be complete with all the fullness of life and power. Now, that's pretty impressive to be able to consider that. So, do you ever notice that what makes us complete is really that area of love? And so the insecurity is really, it's a byproduct of not knowing and experiencing God's love. You should know, we should all say, man, I think God really wants to have a closer relationship to us. And it's much, much more than just saying, I know this, God loves me, I know this. It is experiential that really seizes the day, not knowledge. So you could write it on a placard at home, you could write it in your Bible, but to experience God's love, wow. There's something there, and it's something worth going for. It's important. It's enormity. Amazing. It's beyond comprehension. Lord, then you're just going to have to reveal yourself. And Jesus tried. You remember? Just write it down there in Luke 15. It's called the prodigal son. We've all heard about that. Matter of fact, there's probably 50% of us are all prodigal sons, and we're back. Praise God. Way to come to church today. But when Jesus was explaining that, he was explaining the love of God. And it was a shocker to everybody there. They could not comprehend that God loves that way. You remember that, right? That the son of this very rich dude says, hey, Dad, I'm ready to cut out, give what I am due, my inheritance. And he heads off and blows it. And he becomes impoverished. And he ends up having to feed pigs. Now, for the audience that Jesus is speaking to, that's like, oh, they were probably gasping. Are you kidding me? That's like the low. And then this young lad says, I'm not worthy to be called a son. I'm going to go back to Dad. His servants live better than I am right now. And the story goes on as Jesus is explaining it. The father sees him a great way off, and he cuts and runs after him. Oh, man. And embraces him.
Yes.
Now, understand, Jesus is trying to explain the love of God to a very religious setting. Very hard for them. So you can imagine if you sit down, write down Luke 15, but here are some things that God's love is not based on your performance. Never has been, will not be, even after you love him like you're doing. He just loves you unconditionally. It's called agape love. I wasn't born with that, neither were you. But that love of God, he just loves you. And for him to go after you like that, it's pretty powerful. God's love, according to the story, he longs for connection with you. He's been waiting for you. He's been waiting. He can't wait. And one day he's going to take you home to glory to be with him. That's what Jesus says. I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, that's where you're going to be. So he's all about that. That's his agenda, and it's all about you. God's love's already decided to forgive you even before you wanted to be forgiven. That's the beauty of the cross and the resurrection. Man, I will forgive you. Thank you for just asking. That's the story he's telling. And that God's love will always treat us as a precious child. Come. Nothing less than that. That's the love of God. It's such a shocker to those that are hearing that. That the love of God, according to that, his provision and blessing. Can you imagine? That dude comes in and the father gives him a robe, a ring, sandals. Man, a big feast. He's got a party going on. Wow. That is the love of God. And that God's love includes an extravagant generosity. And I hope that all of us can say, man, I'm just so blessed by the Lord. But see, that kind of blessing really irritates the legalistic Christians. Sometimes they struggle with that. Don't let it. Don't let it. And don't cheapen God's love for you by saying, I'm just worthy of a little portion. I would be upset if my children say, Dad, I don't think you really were going to give me much, so I wouldn't ask. I've told some people that come to Hope Chapel because they know how much we care for people. I hope they do. And they ask us for assistance. I said, do you go to a church? I do. Well, you go back to that pastor and you ask him for help. You're ripping them off of a blessing. If they say no, then come back and see us, right? Amen?
Amen.
And then I find that you went down the street for help and you didn't come to me, I'm coming after you. It's always important, isn't it? God really wants to care for you. So it's a beautiful opportunity. It's a love deficiency, and God's love really moves us on. So Jesus was saying God's love looks just like that. So you can imagine how wonderful that is. So when we deal with something like this, how can we experience this full kind of love? Let's look at number 3. It says, how can we experience God's love? So you can grow up in a church, maybe some of you have, and you never experienced God's love. you have only experienced church, that's a bummer. Because there's something really tangible about experiencing God's love. So let me read now Romans chapter 8 to you. And I want you who maybe it's new to you to journey like this with God, I want you to really get excited when we read this. For you who have read this before, please listen to it with some new ears. It's important for us. Because we're dealing with, we want to move beyond insecurity. But check it out. Romans 8:35 says this, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Let me just pause there because I have been in times past when discomforts come, like maybe a flat tire. God must not like me. Why would he let this flat tire happen? Isn't that true? I'm going to have a root canal. God must not like me. I'm telling you, it's such a temptation. But nothing, that verse says, will separate you. God loves you. We're just living in a broken world, and your body's slowly kind of aging. But don't let things cause a conflict between God's love for you. Let's go on a little bit further. Romans 8:38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know how the Bible says that God demonstrated his love toward us. Romans 5:8, you can write that down. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's one say, hey, I love you, bro. Well, demonstrate it. Jesus did. And so when we take a look at something like that, now you look at that verse here because it says neither things present nor things to come. Isn't it interesting? The Bible doesn't say nor things in the past. Just think about that for a moment. Because some of you still live in the past. Some of you still think, I'll never get over my past. Some of your past can affect moving into the future what God has for you. Watch out, watch out. You want to write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Write it down. Philippians 3:11. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. One thing. What is that? The Apostle said. One thing. I forget those things that are behind. And I reach forward to those things that are ahead for the upward call. Be careful about it. And the apostle had a lot to forget. Persecutor of the church, holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen to death. He was a persecutor. So sometimes we can have things that we might not feel as embraced or cared for by God. Watch out for that. So, how can we experience this love? Let's take a look. Here we go. Letter A, learn about God's love. Just learn about God's love. That's pretty simple when it comes right down to that. Let me read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. Once again, it's up there. Learn about God, says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of love and power that comes from God. I tell you, the Bible is a treasure, a treasure. If you say, well, I don't know where to begin, start with the Gospel of John. Start reading about Jesus and how he cares for people. Get to know him. Remember, 1 John 4:8 says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. That's important. So if we're having a hard time expressing that to others, and we just need to know God. We need to learn about God. As we've often heard it in different ways, like, we're going to be in the image of Jesus. We're going to be like, man, just get in and say, Lord, I have some insecurities here, but I know my goal and aim is I want to just know you, how much you love me. So it's going to be a great love quest for you. Good job. Letter B, receive God's love. Say, well, what does that mean? Well, just be confident. He really wants to lavishly pour himself upon you. I'm sure there are people that don't love you or me the way you probably deserve. But God's not that way. Don't equate God the way other people express their love and appreciation for you. Be careful about that. We get it. People just misrepresent the Lord all the time. But Lord, I receive your love. I'm hearing, I'm reading, you love me. I believe that, and that's important. Tell God you receive his love. Letter C, think about God's love. I find that's very important to think through how much God loves me. Because I am constantly, can be, batting away things of oppression. You know, when you go into maybe a setting or you can feel the oppression, maybe in a setting or a workplace, sometimes even out in public, you're like, man, this kind of feels a little gross here. And you come home with something stuck on you, an oppressive spirit. It's like, get away in the name of Jesus. But you know, it's something when you get a chance to think about God's love is so important. I think it's important when you deal with Romans chapter 8, verse 6, since we're so close to that. Romans 8, verse 6 says this. We'll put that up there. Good. It says, for to set your mind on the flesh is what? Death. Is death. But to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. So fleshly things or worldly things, I think we've all been there enough, have we not, where we're just dwelling on stuff that just joy suckers, just takes the life right out of you. Be careful what you go home and watch on TV, too. You realize, man, I just feel pumped by going to church. The worship was off the charts. And then you watch something and realize, I feel disgusted. Be careful about that. You and I have those areas. We have neurological pathways on how we think. Start to focus in that God really loves me. Just change course a little bit. It's very important. Take a look at Scripture. I would just say some of the Bible verses you have down here on your notes, write them down on a 3x5 card. Read them a few times. Memorize them. Put it on a sticky note. Right there on your speed limit, as you go over the speed limit, make sure, oh, love of God, protect me here. But it's going to be important for us to realize that and recognize that. Change your thoughts. Letter D, ask for God's love. Ask for God's love. You know, when we take a look at times like that, it's important. You ask things that are in line with God's will. That's what that verse literally says. You'll be impressed how God will answer that. It's important. Let me experience your love, Lord. Let me experience your love. I would say you find the most comfortable chair in your house or your little sand chair and go out on the beach. Just open your palms like, Lord, I want to experience your love. You just sit there and wait till he comes down. You sit there. Lord, I need to experience your love because I'm feeling very unloving today. I feel like I've really failed. It's a lot of people. Letter E, love God's, live God's love. How do you secure people in those areas? It's going to be important when we get a chance to do that. You take a look and just as you get into life groups, take a look at people that are truly secure and not insecure. How do secure people act? I'm going to throw some things out there. It says secure people pursue authentic, loving relationships. Will you? That's what's secure. I'll risk again. I'll go help somebody. They may not even appreciate that. Secure people move out of self-protection and take more risks. It really does. It's helpful to have a secure environment, secure home, but it's important for us. And you don't see people that are secure running away from relationships. Just try getting into life groups. Come to Wednesday church. possibly come early before this service starts. Enjoy the koinonia. Koinonia literally means having all things in common. Just come. Meet some people that you might not know. Break into that conversation. Secure people. Don't run away from serving because it's new or scary. That's how you can observe. That person looks pretty secure. Nothing like that. It's just wonderful to be able to do that. And secure people are emotionally honest. They just can share themselves. And they realize that, well, we're going to see if that person's going to really be my friend after I tell them this one. It's pretty exciting. Be able to hang around secure people. And then finally, letter F, share God's love. Share God's love. Once you feel like something's happening to you, man, just start to just express, man, I just feel like I am the favored child of God. If nothing else, would you be careful? Let's not be those individuals that somehow do or say something wrong to other people to cause them to slip back into insecurity. Be careful about that. I think we've all been around environments that reinforce our insecurities because people can be just quite rude. Don't do that. Don't do that. I have a feeling you're going to probably feel very, very sour on the inside. The Holy Spirit will grieve you. You should. So let's build each other up. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't let that happen. But only that which promotes or edifies, that it may impart grace to the hearer. That's a beautiful thing, be able to do that. So let me pray for you. Let's take a look at this together. Let's believe we're off to a good start, but we're dealing with a very touchy subject, insecurity. And again, it's a love deficiency. It's a love deficiency. If God is really embracing you and you're letting him, then I'm telling you, you can risk. It's pretty exciting. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your goodness. God, will you heal our insecurities? Lord, we just speak that. Reveal where we are really lacking an ability to step out for you. People are waiting to hear about you, but some of us are too timid. Lord, help us to experience your love. In all its fullness, in all its fullness, even in some of the bleak times. Lord, we're praying, let us experience that. Jesus, will you help us follow you beyond our insecurities, Lord? Just help us right now. We are sheltered in, we are locked down, but help us to move beyond our insecurities. And where could we start if we don't go with the first step of receiving God's unconditional love by receiving your son, Jesus? So while we are praying, and if you're here or online with us, and you've never really given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't know what that kind of love is like, but you know you do need him. He's available right now for you. And let's take a moment now and just even pray for some of us. We've heard about Jesus. We know what he's done. But he presents a gift. Gift is called eternal life. Let's pray this prayer out loud. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Son of God and that you died for me and that you rose for me. And I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me of all the things I've done wrong against you and against others. Dear Jesus, I need your help. I need confidence to believe you love me and that you're going to walk out my life in abundance and blessings. Lord, remove fear in my life now. Let your love come upon me as I look forward to heaven with you. Now, dear Jesus, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep our eyes closed just for a moment, just for a moment. And I want to address our live stream audience. I know some of you have prayed that prayer, and it's very helpful for you to acknowledge that. It's going to be helpful for me to know as well. As a good pastor, as a good overseer, it's helpful to know. I want to get you on your growth with God in the right way. Same here with you here. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you just raise your hand up and just say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Just go ahead and put it up and drop it down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Great. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else that just say, well, you know, I just recommitted my life as well. Just, yeah. Praise the Lord for these six hands. I want to just also thank you for you who are watching at home. I hope you can send me an email and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. We will follow up. If you can as well, tell somebody at home. I want to thank God for you who raised your hand. I'm grateful for that. It's a big day. It's a big day. Well, right now then, I'm going to just ask the Lord to do something wonderful for each and every one of us. Thank you for that. Father, by your Holy Spirit, thank you for reassuring our hearts in such a way. For those who prayed, number of hands have gone up. Some hands probably wondering what we just asked, but something happened. And that, Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name, that their lives will multiply into lives of many that they know in their environment. Oh God, it's not about them. May their place of employment be fruitful and change lives. May their home no longer have war and faction. May their life be a blessing. Lord, as we just declare, thank you for removing the curse in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to thank the Lord. Let's do that. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Well, let me just add a couple of things. First of all, if you don't have a Bible at home, please, please go either meet me on the way out or at our connection cart. Lance is right there. He'll make sure he gets you a Bible. We want to make sure that that's something we launch you in. At this time, though, we want to launch our life groups. So if you just bear with us the few moments that we have left, I want to welcome our life group, couples and individuals. If you'll join me up here and stand facing our wonderful church and our live stream audience. Come on up now. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.